book of Mark. And we're in chapter number 13. Lord willing, we'll finish chapter 13 this evening. Chapter 13. Yeah, I believe somewhere around 19 is where we let off last week. Mark 13, and let's start reading at verse number 19. Mark 13 and verse number 19, the Bible says there, "For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. But in those days after that the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars in the heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heaven shall be shaken." Verse 26. "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then shall he send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So ye in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." Verse 33, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly ye find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Now, verse 14 through 18 had a description of the Jews that believed on Christ during the Great Tribulation of the first 3.5 years, fleeing after the abominations, the desolations was overspread among the altar. And then if you go into verse number 19, it's, "For those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created unto his this time, neither shall be." Now if you go, hold your place there, look over in Jeremiah, you find some prophecy in Jeremiah describing the said day, which we are speaking about, the days, you know, the 7 years of tribulation. Jeremiah chapter number 30, Jeremiah chapter number 30 and verse number 7. I want you to notice the greatness of this tribulation. It's not going to be just any normal thing. Now this past month, I guess last 6 weeks, we have had in this world some pretty strong devastations that has taken place. For instance, you had the earthquake in Mexico. Then you had the hurricane in Texas. And then you had the hurricane that came across, actually, the Harvey, you know, hit all the islands down there. Then you had Maria, who came across in Puerto Rico, still dealing with all that. Then, you know, Irma hit here in Florida, came up through there, plus all the little islands down there. And those are pretty devastating things that took place. And then you had the situation that took place out in, you know, in the Midwest, in Nevada, with the shooting there that nobody seems to can grasp and understand what in the world happened in that situation. Outside of evil, sin, and terrorism, and the hate for mankind, other than that, they can't come up with anything logical to let us know why seemingly a normal human being would do such a hideous crime, other than eat, hate, and sin. So, you know, there's been some horrible things in the last 6 weeks that's happened around the world, and I didn't name all of them. There was more that had happened on other places, you know, in the world. You know, in London last month, there was another terrorist attack in London. So we go on and on and on. Kind of can get pretty sad, you know, thinking about it. But the Bible describes in Mark that the greatness of the tribulation that is yet to come, nobody's even faced it. I remember several, you know, a couple of decades and a half ago, I believe, the great tsunami that hit the Southeast Asia down there. Boy, that was a tremendous, you know, devastation of that area. You know, come a flood, I mean, 30-foot tall waves coming onto shore because an earthquake out in the middle of the ocean, somehow that happened that way, you know. And we read that there will be wars, rumors of wars, and so forth. I think now we're in, what, 15 years of this war that we've been in yet. I think it's moving upon 15 years in Afghanistan. Pretty close. So, you know, it's been pretty bad. This is nothing yet is what we're going to see. So I want you to see how the Bible records it throughout throughout Scripture and the prophecies. If you look in Jeremiah 30 and verse 7, it says there, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But ye shall be saved out of it." Jacob, according, speaking of the nation of Israel. That's why, as you study this passage, you keep it focused upon this is a passage of Scripture dealing with the nation of Israel, dealing with Jewish people, and prophesied toward them. It kind of helps it to understand and give us a direction of guidance on what it is. So the tribulation, dear friend, is basically, in my mind's eye, it is a time where God deals sternly with the nation of Israel to turn their heart back to Him. Now, the rapture has already happened by this time. You and I are in heaven, enjoying what was, you know, the Lamb's Supper of the bride, and you know, spending time with Jesus during that 7 year of tribulation. But it's going to come an end to that 7 years. Now, with this portion, we're moving into the third and a half year of that. So look over in Zephaniah. So it's there, Jacob's trouble in Jeremiah. Look in Zephaniah. And the Word of God describes it again. Zephaniah is one of those small minor prophet books over there. Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, all there. A little bit, if you get to Matthew in the New Testament, you back up three or four books, you'll find it over there. Zephaniah chapter number 1. Zephaniah chapter number 1 and verse number 15. Actually, look at verse 14. Verse 14 and verse 15, Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says there in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14, "The great day of the Lord is near, it is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly." Verse 15, "That day is a day of wrath." Now, in the New Testament says God has not saved us for the wrath. So as you see this, it's going to be a day of wrath. It says a day of trouble and distress, a day of witnessing and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. So we see it's a time of Jacob's trouble. Zephaniah describes it as a time of wrath. Look with me over in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter number 26. And let's say Isaiah 26 and verse number 20. Isaiah 26 and verse number 20. So the Bible speaks in Mark chapter number 13, verse 19, of the greatness of the tribulation. You go back and you see how the prophets prophesied towards this day. Isaiah 26, 20, the Bible says, "There come my people, enter thou into the chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the day the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquities. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain." So Isaiah describes as a time of indignation. So you have a time of Jacob's trouble, a time of wrath, a time of indignation. The Bible talks about it, the great day of the Lord and the power thereof. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible says it's an overspreading of abominations. I mean, he just covers the abomination with his wrath as he comes out. And then back over in Mark, if you notice the next verse, so we have those descriptions. 19 says, "For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning." And then we saw some verses that pointed to that. And verse 20 tells us, "And that the days were not shortened for the elect's sake, all people and all mankind would die." For, and it says, verse 20, "And except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, from whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days there. And so in verses 21 through 23, the Bible describes that there will be false Christ. There will be those that seduce many, but not the elect, the chosen. You know, it's amazing how people are really tricked and fooled, you might say, by signs and wonders. You know, be very careful, because Satan himself can transform himself into an angel of light. Just because it's something supernatural doesn't mean that it is not something that the devil himself is not involved in. You know, the Bible talks about it in 2 Corinthians 4 that the gospel, the eyes of those that might believe the gospel, Satan himself has blinded their eyes. He doesn't want you to hear. He doesn't want you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And so the Bible says there'll be false Christ that seduce many. But, you know, we got to be very careful that we, as the Lord's people now, that we're not deceived. Now, this is talking about the tribulation. We're gone. We're in heaven. We've been caught up and we're there. And so it's not going to affect us in that day. But in this day and age, there's a lot of people fooled and tricked by false doctrines and false teachings. And so we got to be careful right now that we study the Word of God, we rightly divide the truth of the Word of God, and we allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. We allow the Bible to be the Word of God that it is. It doesn't need to be propped up, that it needs to be believed. Because it's absolute. It was written by a perfect God who is everlasting and eternal, and He has preserved and kept His Word for us. So we just need to get back to where we learn Bible and we believe it. We don't rationalize it away. This isn't poison ivy. This is the Word of God. It's living. You don't put some ointment on it and it goes away. Sometimes we like to do that, don't we? Like to put a little ointment on sin and hope it just disappears. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You find somebody that's not willing to preach the blood of Christ, dear friend. Not willing to present Christ as Lamb slain and the atoning blood of Christ as the only way, the truth, and the way to get to heaven, dear friend. You have a false teacher. How hard and how difficult it is to say that Jesus saves in no other way if you have the truth. But you know as well as I have, in this last four years, there's been great orators that have stood on national television sets and said, "Well, there's many ways." We got to be careful that we're not deceived, dear friend. that we are not. There is one way. That's through Jesus Christ. No other way. Don't be deceived. Study the Word. Get in the Word. Follow the Scripture. Look at Bible. Isaiah 8:20, if they speak not according to this Word, it's because there's no light in them. We need Jesus Christ to be the forefront of our ministry here at Lock Haven Baptist Church. And if He ever ceases to be the forefront and the focus point and the moral compass and direction of where our church should go, we are in a heap of trouble. We've got to have Christ the center. And if Christ is the center of our church, He has to be the center of our individual lives. We need to each one of us check and see, is Christ the very center of our focus in our day-to-day lives? What consumes you? Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be. So what consumes your thinking? So, preacher, I'm not no monk. I didn't ask you to be a monk. Jesus said be a living sacrifice. It's a little difference. Monks hide off in a cave and write scrolls. Jesus said you're to be an ambassador, a representative. You go out and speak and talk and you spend time with people, letting them see Jesus Christ, the hope of glory in you. So be careful. Don't allow false prophets to deceive you. Look at verse number 24. Here's some help and some hints to us. But in those days, after that, the tribulation. Those are some in. Those days, what days? The day of the great tribulation. Now, after the tribulation, now we move on and we start talking about the second coming of Christ. After the tribulation. Okay, as we study this out. Now, look with me over in Revelation chapter number 19. Keep your place there in the book of Mark, Revelation 19. And verse number 11. Revelation 19, verse number 11. And we'll read down through verse number 16. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 19 and verse number 11, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon the was called Faithful and True. And in the righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with the vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress, the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, All fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, have free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sit on the horse, and against his armies." Look over in Zechariah. Go back over to Matthew and back up a few little books there. Zechariah, chapter number 14. Zechariah chapter 14. And verse number 4. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 4. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. And the Bible says, "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount Olives, Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, and toward the east and toward the west, And there shall be a very great valley on the half of the mountain, shall remove toward the north, and the half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, and shall, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like the days of Uzziah king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. So there's a difference between the second coming of the Lord and the rapture when the Lord calls his people home. When the second coming, he's putting his feet on this earth. He's placing his feet down on this earth, and he is taking control. Now, when the rapture takes place, and in 1 Thessalonians says there in chapter 4, that we shall be caught up in the air to be with him. That's not the second coming. That's a different event. But after the tribulation, after he deals with the nation of Israel, after he sends the two witnesses to preach in the streets of Jerusalem, after he sends the 144,000 and they preach throughout all the nations, all the lands, and people that have never heard the gospel and never believed on Christ. Think about the mercy and think about the grace that is extended during this time. And he allows them an opportunity to hear the gospel and to get saved during this here horrible time of tribulation. Go with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And verse number 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7. I mean 2 Thessalonians, I'm sorry. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7. Sorry about that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 7. And this is what the Bible says here. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back with vengeance. Can you imagine, dear friend? He's sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's sent prophets, priests, and kings to proclaim that Jesus Christ is dead. For 2,000 years now, over, beyond, Jesus Christ has been preached. Has been preached and preached and preached. And there's coming in when Jesus says, okay, the gospel's been preached. Call my people home. Come up hither and steal. He gives two witnesses. He gives preachers. Remember the angel? There'll be an angel at that time that will go around and preach the everlasting gospel. So when he comes back, dear friend, it is with wrath and indignation. It is that I have extended mercy and grace to the very end. Now here comes judgment. It's going to be a difficult time. Maybe you can just kind of get the gist of it. How many of you in this day and age which we live in have kids that play these crazy video games? Probably every last one of us. And you've called them. Johnny, will you please go take the garbage out? Boom, 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 boom. Johnny! Hey, Johnny! And you call, and you call, and call, and then finally the wrath comes, right? I saw a meme today. Lord, I don't know if I want to do it. Yeah, I do. You Spanish people like it. Oh, Lord. It's a picture of Call of Duty. And it says, when your mom has called you for 2 hours to come take out the garbage, and there she appears with a flip-flop. She's inside the video game with a flip-flop coming at you in life. Natasha said something on her page one day, said that this is how all Spanish mamas live, with a flip-flop in their hand. So I don't know about all that. I'm not Spanish. You'll have to help me out with that. But I thought that was pretty funny. Then the wrath comes, doesn't it? And you and I just called him for a little bit. We didn't call for 2,000 years. send two of God's chiefest of prophets that he reserved. And the Bible says they lay dead for on there out there for everybody to see until he raised them up. And then he sends an angel. Can you imagine the wrath? I can't. This is the time like nothing before. The Bible says it's not even described. We think about what? The verses say that heaven is so beautiful and so lovely, and it is. I have not seen, ear hath not heard. Well, the same thing goes for this wrath that's about to come. The flood doesn't compare. The plagues in Egypt don't compare. The Red Sea falling down upon the nation of Egypt and killing all their armies. How much wrath and indignation that was. Doesn't compare. It doesn't even begin to give us a good, clean picture, the Bible says. Never before has it been. So you understand the wrath, the indignation. Look with me at Zechariah again, back over in Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And he says there, and I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication. Just listen to it. I'll pour it out on them. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. They're going to see him. They shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son. And he shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Look in Zechariah 13 and verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Look in Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 4. It says again, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half toward the south. And it says, and ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains. Why are they fleeing? Because now the wrath of God is at hand. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He's not mocked. Go back with me to Mark. Back over to Mark. Listen what he says. Verse 23. Listen what he says. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. The warnings are there. I mean, they're there. Look at verse 25. The stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Verse 26. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds of from the uppermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of the heaven. All those of those tribulation saints that have been preached, heard the gospel, they've heard it, they've been saved, and they trust him as their personal Lord and Savior. And he gathers them up. Verse 28. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender, put it forth her leaves, ye know the summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, that this generation, in other words, when these things start, it's not going to be a long thing. It's not going to be drawn out. See, that's what we get mixed up. We say, well, it says this generation. He's speaking of future things. When this here starts, that generation will not pass away. They will be there to see the entirety of the situation. It's not like it's talking to the apostles right there and said, okay, you and your generation. No, we're missing the point there. When this generation, when these things start, it's not going to end until all these things be done. So, listen, he's not going to draw it out. See, in Genesis, it says he for 120 years, he strived with man before he sent the flood. He allowed Lot to witness in Sodom and Gomorrah as poorly as he did. Vexed his righteous soul, the Bible said. Then he sent the angels in. Tried to go to his own children and knock on the children's door and say, hey, listen, the wrath of God is at hand. They laughed him to mock and scorn. Till the angels grabbed Lot and his wife and his two daughters that were still at home and dragged them out of the house. You know the story. Lot's wife turned her back. And bang. Pillar of salt. Brimstone and fire. And it was consumed. You listen, God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But eventually, His grace and His mercy comes to an end. And He says, now, the wrath is at hand. And you know, this here, as we study this out, this is not really the worst of all. The great white throne of judgment is still yet to come after this. They're going to stand before God. And He's going to open up the books. Those that don't know Christ are first.